Hello and welcome to episode 50, the big 5-0 of Divided by Werewolves. I'm here. Mitch is here. Todd is off, hopefully fucking baked out of his mind, in the mountains of Colorado.
Kayaking.
Kayaking while high. That would be awesome. So we have a big show tonight. It's two things. It's E3 and it's Hereditary. But those two things, that's gonna fill up a little. Of course, we always have the general kind of, you know, what we've been playing and shit. We have a little bit of that. And you got back into Fallout Shelter, so that was announced. That was before E3, right? Because I seem to remember people who went to E3 were playing it, like, on the way there.
I think. I'm not sure. Like, it's something that I got into on the Xbox One when it finally came to that platform. And I sort of got hooked on it. And for whatever reason, I just stopped. Mm. Like, I had built this massive fucking bunker. And then all my people are probably dead. Mm-hmm. At this point, because I just haven't gone back to it. But it's like, you know, it's the Switch thing. We've talked about it before. Yeah. Like, it's the playing things on the Switch makes them different for some reason. It makes them more fun. And like the fact that I could be sitting there on the couch playing it while whatever's on TV, you know, I'm checking on my vault every 5 minutes. You know, right. I'm like, oh shit, the water's ready to harvest, you know, all this shit. Now, but I'm having a ball with it.
Now, what is the free-to-play aspect of it? Like, what do you pay for?
I've never paid for anything. I think you can buy, for lack of a better term, loot boxes.
Oh, okay.
And it's like you open this little lunchbox-looking thing, and it's full of cards. And the cards will either be characters or costumes or weapons or caps or whatever. But you don't have to buy shit. Like, it's completely free.
Right, right. And do they just – is it, like, cosmetic stuff, or does it, like, actually help your vault dwellers survive?
It's a little of both. The costumes give, like – it's sort of like the RPG part of it. Uh-huh. So the costumes you can get give them extra experience points or certain attributes, or it makes them better at doing whatever. And then there's weapons, because when the raiders show up, you know, you have – a lot of your vault dwellers are just basically people. They don't really have weapons, and they'll fight back, but they may get killed, you know, when the marauders show up. But if you have guns, you can equip certain people with guns. You have to look at who's good with that type of shit, and it's like, you know, the whole RPG thing comes into play. Right. It starts off, it's super easy when it starts off. Like, people just show up to your vault.
They're like, hey.
And, yeah. Like, can I come in? And you're like, well, I don't know. You know, what are you good at? And then you sort of, and then you try to decide which room to put them in and or where they're going to benefit you the most. And then, you know, if you put people in the right places, then the water stuff comes faster, the food comes faster, things like that.
Gotcha.
It's, you know, it's very mobile. It's a mobile thing, obviously, but.
You're like, what can you do for me? Not like, well, yes, stranger, come survive this hellscape together. You're just like, fuck you. Right? What have you done for me lately?
Right. You know, why do I need to let you in here so you can eat up all my goddamn food? What are you going to bring?
Vacuuming? Yeah, we got plenty of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Horsehair broom ass out of here. Well, speaking of everything's better on Switch, so when they dropped the announcement that Fortnite was on the Switch, I, up until that point, could give a fuck about Fortnite. But then I was like, Fortnite!
I'm still there with the not giving a fuck about it.
Well, here's the thing. So I bring my Switch to work every day, and I play it. So we have like a lobby area of the workspace. And I kind of eat at my desk or whatever for like 10, 15 minutes. And then I'll go in the lobby and I'll play games on my Switch in the lobby. And so, you know, normally, yeah, I don't care about Fortnite either. But, you know, as a drop in, play a few matches, switch to something else, it's great. You know, I mean, it's the same as PUBG, except it's PUBG with building. I sucked at PUBG. I suck at Fortnite. You know, I'm sure there's strategies and, you know, and there's probably better things I could get if I wanted to, but you know, until I learn the map and all that stuff, it's not going to do much. But at the end of the day, you know, it's still fun to pop in for a couple matches and then pop out. Like, it's not, you know, I'm not a hardcore player,
right?
And I'm never going to be. I'm not gonna,
right? Right.
Nobody's gonna pay me to stream anything, much less Fortnite. But right. I think that it being on Switch, there's a lot of people who don't want to sit down for three, four hours and play Fortnite. Like,
right.
But like you said, if they're watching TV, if they're on the bus, if they're, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They're more than happy to play a couple matches.
Did you see all this shit like for like the Switch version and well, it really became a thing for the Switch version, I think, because I
play.
Yeah. Like I had played it, like we talked about it. I only played Fortnite. I played it one day and I played probably 3-4 hours of it over the course of that day. But it was on my PS4. And so a few weeks ago, I downloaded it to my Xbox One because my son, that's all he plays now, is basically is Fortnite.
Which is and hilarious.
So, God damn it. I don't know where I went wrong, Brandon.
No. When he came up for the party, all he was talking about was how he'd be walking in school and the kids behind him would be talking about, oh, I play Fortnite. And he would make fun of them for saying how they play Fortnite.
Well, for whatever reason, the bug finally got to him.
Right.
And that's all he does. And so, but my daughter also wants to play Fortnite because everybody in the world wants to play Fortnite except for me.
And my kids.
And, right. And so I was like, all right, I put it on my Xbox and I go to sign in and it's like, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Why? It's fucking free. Why can't I play it?
They're like, you can, Xbox, just not with everything you have so far.
I was like, yeah, my Xbox is linked to my Epic Games account. Why can't I play this? And so I was like, I don't know. It doesn't work. So I was like, if you want to play it on the PS4. I was like, dude, I'm done with this shit. I don't know what's wrong with it. And then it was free on Switch. And I'm like, oh, I can download it for Switch. And then everybody starts bitching about it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So if you played it first on PS4, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Because that's what I paid it on. I played it on.
Yeah.
So I had to create a whole new Epic Games account. And then link my Xbox to that just so they could play. Yeah. And that's fucking ridiculous.
It is. But you know what? It's, you know, it really is for Sony. It's all about the money. Like, they just don't want to run the risk that maybe somebody would play something somewhere else. And I think they're okay with the bad PR and whatnot, because at the end of the day,
people
stick around. Because, I mean, if you really are invested in Fortnite, you might make a new account to play on the Switch just for shits and giggles, but that's not going to turn into your primary platform.
No.
You're going to go with the one that you've already sunk a bunch of time and potentially money into. And they know
right.
that, you know, they know
right.
that. Yeah. Oh yeah. I know people, you know, they're talking about it and how annoyed they are, but we don't have to do anything and it doesn't matter. And Nintendo and Microsoft can make all the cutesy videos they want. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
I know. Yeah, their response was their non-response was like hilarious. They're just we know, whatever.
Yeah, right. And I mean, for a lot of people, it doesn't matter because they're not good enough to get stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't care. I don't care at all.
But the people that care, they're not gonna not play it on the PS4 at this point.
Right.
Like, I got some Fortnite stuff from Twitch Prime, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a cool backpack, you know, that's about as far as it went. I was like, yeah, sweet backpack, bro. And then I was like, what the fuck am I doing? And dad, oh, that's what I'm doing. This is familiar. Where's the boat?
Yeah.
Where's the boat, sir?
Yeah,
ma'am. Ma'am, the boat. My understanding is y'all have a boat, right? Because I can hide on that boat, and then I can build like a boat shed for the boat. That's how it works.
As long as
hello.
As long as I'm not in the back of the boat shooting in the back of the head.
Well, I would build a wall between you and me. I'd build get in the boat. I'd build.
That's
a portable
the first step.
Wall. Step one: get in boat. Step two: build boat wall. Profit. Anyway, and then, but I've been, you know, I play Battle Chasers during launch. I play, you know, fucking Lego City Undercover because I picked that up for $15. I downloaded Fallout Shelter.
Mm.
Downloaded the Toad Treasure Tracker. You know, I mean, it's just a great fucking thing to have. I could go out and get exercise and fresh air, but fuck that.
Yeah, what the hell's that ever done for anybody?
Exactly. Vitamin D my ass. and then real quick, I finished Detroit. It was silly, but I think it was probably one of the best David Cage games because it was silly, but it wasn't like – I don't know. It was silly in a way that didn't seem overwrought. I think mostly because it was so silly that it was kind of easy to overlook the serious things. And it's just like, you know, when he's like, you know, basically playing Detroit, it's so subtle. It's like as soon as it booted up, it couldn't be any less subtle if it booted up and a miniature David Cage appeared and went, "It's about racism." But you know, the choices were cool and you know, just to kind of see how they played out and you know, I did get an ending I didn't like and I went, "Fuck that," and I reloaded the save. I downloaded my save from the previous night. I was like, "Oh, that's not happening." I went from there, like branching narrative my ass.
I'm looking forward to playing it. Like, I liked Heavy Rain and all the other stuff. I played everything up to this. It's just one of those things. I'm not in a hurry to play it.
Yeah, so. There's no reason to be. I started Beyond Two Souls and I never finished it.
I didn't care for that one.
And then I did start Vampire, and I would like you to play it. And I know Autistic said last night
he
wants you to stream it, but I'm going to hold off on kind of talking about it until you play it. So we have this show, and then I think our next show we're going to end up like skipping because I'll be away. So that should be plenty of time by the time we come back for both of us to have gotten pretty far in it, so we can kind of rap about it then.
I have it installed, but I haven't started yet. But I 1000% plan on going fucking Fright Night over fucking Interview with the Vampire. Like I'm killing everybody's ass.
I like it. I like it. All right. So E3, I think it was a good E3. It wasn't the one thing I wanted to hear. I didn't. I was kind of hoping for like this new PS4 Pro Slim, you know, that would jack up my VR-ness.
Oh, right.
And that would give me an excuse to buy one. Didn't get that, which is disappointing, but also not surprising. I don't know. It just for an E3 that didn't have a lot of like really super whiz bang moments, I still felt like
it did not.
The stuff they talked about though was really solid.
I agree. I think it was an extremely solid year for E3, but there was a lot of retreading. There was a lot of updating things that had been announced and a lot wasn't shown before or something. But I can't wait for that oh shit moment, and I just don't feel like we really got one this time.
No, I agree, but you know, at the same time, I don't know. Sometimes for me, it's like it seems like, you know, those oh shit moments end up being more important than seeing things of substance. Like I like, I mean, it's great when they announce stuff, but when they announce stuff and then they're like 2020, oh, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like honestly,
right.
You know, I mean, it's like when they have a trailer at the Super Bowl for a movie that's coming out in like a year and a half. Like I don't care. I don't have the capacity in my mind to care about it for that long. And I feel the same way about E3. Like I love it when they say, here's something at E3, and then they go, it comes out in October, and not like we're hoping for October and it actually ends up being June
right.
the following year. Like shit, you can play, you know, this year. You know, like I am super excited that one of the top games, and I'm sure it will be for you as well. But I could not be more excited for Spider-Man right now. If you told me that I could play it tomorrow. And I mean, that was something that had been announced, but there's a difference when you see something and you know it's a ways away as opposed to seeing something that you know you can play it in like 3 months or 2 months.
Right.
And I think that game looks fucking awesome.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Like for as good as other Spider-Man games have been. And you know, people don't talk a whole lot about, you know, because most superhero games are garbage. And then when you do bring up superhero games that aren't garbage, like you go for the Rocksteady Batman stuff and not a whole lot else, man. Fucking Shattered Spider-Man.
Dimensions. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Like they've not all been great, but Spider-Man's got more good games than bad. Like
Shattered
Ultimate
Dimensions
Spider-Man's.
Is it
Shattered Dimensions? Yeah, like
Shattered Dimensions was a fantastic game. I loved that game.
Like Spider-Man breaks the mold in so many ways, because not only does he have good superhero games, he has good fucking movie superhero games.
Yes.
And that never happens.
Right.
Good God.
Right.
Like you hardly ever get either one of those. And Spider-Man has both in one game.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So I'm super fucking pumped for that Spider-Man game.
And you know, the people who make, I mean, and that's the thing too. It's like, you've got, you know, Insomniac making it. And I mean, I couldn't think of a better studio, because
exactly
when you talk about like the kind of being able to balance hectic combat, but also, you know, good traversal mechanics.
Traversal.
Like, yes. Hello, Ratchet and Clank. What? Hello.
My God. Sunset Overdrive. My God.
Right, exactly. Which is a game. It was funny because that was a game I hated when I first started playing it, and then it clicked, and I was like, "Oh, okay, I get it. Like, I totally get it."
It was slow when it started, but once you got like the better jump, and then like the boost thing,
it completely changed
the game.
And it was all about that moment when you were like, "Okay, I understand now. I understand how all this the roller skating, or whatever, for lack of a better word, works now."
Right.
And then, like you said, it was like a totally different game, because before it was just all like extreme, you know, kind of tongue in cheek stuff. But then once that stuff clicked, you were like, "Oh, now I get it. I never have to touch the ground. Yeah. Yay."
Exactly.
So hopefully, you know, I think that they're a good fit for the sense of humor in a Spider-Man game, but at the same time, you know, Ratchet and Clank does have a kind of a quippy sense of humor, and so does Spider-Man, but I kind of hope they don't try to do that too much.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I think about with the game, and we've not seen a lot of that. I think they've shown gameplay, but, you know, the trailer, whatever the last big trailer they showed was like really long, maybe the last E3. We got voice acting, but I don't know. I hope a lot of that shit stays in cutscenes. And
yeah, me too.
When we're playing the game, he's not constantly, I'm doing this. Funny quip. Like, that's going to get old real fast.
Right. And that's how the Ratchet and Clank games are. You know, I mean, the humor is in the cutscenes. You know, it's not a lot of kind of quipping as you're going. You know, occasionally Clank will kind of go, you know, make a joke or whatever. But, you know, it's just that I think Sunset Overdrive was very, very quip, pun.
Yeah, it was.
You know, kind of heavy.
You could have the narrator do quips for you.
That was an option.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want that for Spider-Man.
Right. The other Sony, I think it's a Sony exclusive, made by a Sony studio, by Sucker Punch, was the Ghosts of, and I'm going to mangle this.
Tsushima.
Yeah, Ghosts of Tsushima. Like, what? Yeah. What? The guy, Infamous 2 is still one of my favorite open world games. I love that game. So you're telling me that you're going to do an open world feudal Japan samurai game by the guys who did Infamous 2? What? Yes. Yes.
And listen, it's not often that would be considered what you would call a graphics whore by any stretch of the imagination.
Shit.
But oh my God, when they got to that scene where they're in the forest or the orchard, where the fuck it was.
The leaves are falling,
The leaves are falling. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, man. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, they're like, we reanimated buy a PS4 Akira Kurosawa's corpse, and he's our artistic director. We keep fed with a mixture of herbs and spices.
I was like, I need somebody to talk me off the ledge, because I'm fixed to go buy a PS4 Pro and a fucking 4K TV right now.
You know what?
Oh my God.
The only reason I haven't pulled the trigger is because I have a projector, and I'm like, okay, I need to buy a new receiver. I need to buy a cable, a big ass cable. I need to run the cable. You know, otherwise, for everything, for all the stuff we saw.
Yeah, well, I haven't, because I'm poor. And so that's where the.
I can't afford it. That's what I'm saying, though. It's not just because you can get a 4K TV now for like $500. You know, I mean, you know, not to say that $500 isn't a big deal, but I mean,
might as well be a million.
but when you're talking, you know, kind of projector, all that shit, not to mention just the effort involved. So yeah, no, I feel you. And that was a game I feel like I didn't know anything about. Maybe they announced it beforehand, but I don't. It was kind of new.
I'm sure they probably did. Because it didn't feel like an announcement, because they said they're gonna highlight four games that they've already talked about. But I was like, I had never heard of it.
You know, when it's like E3, Gamescom, Tokyo Game Show, all the PAXs, right. I just get, you know, and I read this stuff and I go, okay, that sounds cool. But I don't, like we talked about before, you know, if I can't play it this year, I kind of just file it away.
Same here. Like I'll hear something and be like, oh, that's fucking cool. And I'll forget about it tomorrow. Like, like, you know, coming soon, or it's the announcement trailer. I'm like, oh, cool. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that announcement trailer when it comes out 4 years later. They're like, here's some gameplay. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. It's like being surprised every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Last of Us 2, like, I like The Last of Us. I don't love The Last of Us.
You know? I don't either, man. Like, for me, The Last of Us is one of those things where – it got talked about so much before I finally played it that I was almost tired of hearing about it. And, you know, the beginning for me, the very beginning of that game was way better than the, 12 hours or so that followed. Like
took me a hell of a lot more than 12 hours. Cause I'm like, okay, I played for an hour and we moved 3 feet.
But no,
you have a nice collection of bricks and bottles, though. If anybody wants to make some wind chimes, or you got a small hole in your wall, I can fix that up for you. That guy with the beard, he looks shifty. I don't like the way he's been looking at us. So we live here now, behind this bar. We live here.
But the when it first kicks off. When the shit hasn't gone down yet and you're in the house and all that first
absolutely
30 minutes, I was just like, what in the shit am I about to play?
Yeah.
And then it's like 1 year later.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God. Oh, God. It's just hiding from one clicker after the other, throwing bottles, like you said. And I'm just like, all right, what's happening here?
And you know what it is for me too? It's just I don't care about zombies anymore. I just I don't. I could give a fuck about Days Gone, whatever fucking zombie. And that you can blame Sons of Anarchy for that right there. Like
that right there, I don't think that's gonna be as big a thing as Sony hopes it's gonna be.
Sons of Anarchy ruined biker things for me forever. Motherfucker got hit by a food truck. Like that's it.
Well,
okay, Sons of Anarchy and my wife ruined. Because, and I've told the story a million times when she's like, he's going to get hit by that fruit truck. I was like, no, he is not. Kurt Sutter wouldn't do me like that. I watched this show for 7 years. And she's like, he's totally going to. And I was like, no, he is not. Vic Mackey is not going to run him over with a fruit truck. And then he fucking did the cross pose on his. And I was like, and he died. And I just looked at her and she had that look on her face and she went,
I was convinced. By, I don't know, maybe a quarter of the way through the last season, that Kurt Sutter hates all of us. I don't know why.
You know what Kurt Sutter doesn't hate, though? Juice getting fucked by Marilyn Manson.
Prison rape. God. He doesn't hate prison rape so much, he had it happen to himself.
Juice got like fucked more times by Marilyn Manson than Rose McGowan did.
Yeah, I know. Which killed my soul, because I love Juice, bless his heart, for the entire run of that goddamn show. I love Juice.
I didn't even know why. I didn't even know why. Like, I was like, wait, you're half black and that's why you're in jail? Like, what is happening? I don't understand. And then they're just like, hey, you love the club? And he's like, yeah, I love the club. They're like, okay, cool. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to go to jail, and then Marilyn Manson's going to treat you like his own personal glory hole, and then he's going to kill you, and then you'll be – we're good. We're solid. And he's like, okay, cool. Yeah, I couldn't just move to anywhere other than this place.
Right. He's like, you love the club? Yeah, well, this is going to happen. I don't love the club. Nope. I'm leaving.
Nope. I'll be like, here's my patch. Here's my membership card. Here's a punch card.
Here's the keys to my motorcycle.
Yeah. I'm going to move to Dayton. I'm going to become a mechanic named Carl.
Yep. Buying a minivan. Fuck a motorcycle. Right.
come through. I will do your brakes for free. Anyway, so I mean, I didn't even watch the stuff about Last of Us 2. Everybody's just like, oh, two ladies were kissing. And I, you know what? I'm all for representation. I love it. I think it's fantastic. For me, it's just one of those things where I was like, I'm just really kind of tired of the whole, you know, who's the real monster? Like, we get it. People are the real monsters.
Right, right.
I get it.
Well, I will say, for the one thing that I took away from the Last of Us 2 thing for Sony was, if that was true gameplay, if that's how it's going to play, then it's going to be fucking revolutionary. I don't know.
Now I need to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know, because the way the combat flowed, if that shit wasn't scripted or like what it was, button time, whatever the fuck you call it, where you press triangle to do this and circle to do this, whatever.
Yeah.
Quick time. Yeah, yeah. If that wasn't quick time shit, I'm not sure I can do that, because it was amazing if that was actual gameplay. I don't see how it could be. But
watch it.
Just watch how one fight scene progresses.
Because I saw the thing about the kiss, and then I got caught up with people being like, you know, the one guy on, I don't know if he was Reddit or whatever, is like, I don't know Lady Customs, but maybe they were just good friends. I was like, yeah, that's it. That's why your girlfriend keeps tongue kissing her best friend. They're just really good friends.
Sorry, sir. I can speak to that for you if you need clarification.
Anyway, let's see. On the Microsoft side, I give a fuck about Gears 5. I'll play it. And I know that doesn't speak very highly of me as a person.
So here's the thing. My greatest hope for E3 for this year was that, you know, Microsoft has been in trouble. I think that's not a surprise to anyone. Like, anybody, not many people would argue with me on that, right?
No.
Microsoft has been abysmal this entire generation. They've been playing catch up since the E3 that the that the Xbox One was announced.
They're like, "Do you like used games? Well, we don't. Fuck you." Right. And Sony's like, "You hear that? That's cash money."
Yeah, but TV. Do you like TV?
How do you like controlling TV with your voice? It's the future.
Right. So I thought, all right. Phil Spencer has taken over. It's been, what, 3-4 years since he took over. That's about the amount of time you would need to maybe have a couple of surprises up your sleeve, something to say, something to drop a bomb. You know what I mean? Just something to put yourself back in the race. And to their credit, I feel like Microsoft did show up with games.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is they were all multi-platform games.
Right, right.
Like, they're like, you can play this on Xbox. I'm like, well, yeah, but I can also play it on PS4.
No. Shh.
Right. No. And I'm like, all right, they needed to bring some sort of exclusive that wasn't Gears, that wasn't Halo, that wasn't Forza. And that's literally what they announced.
That's all Gears, they have.
Halo, and Forza.
I mean, and then they're like, well, we bought 6 studios, so we'll have something in like 3 years. You get back to us.
Yeah. Right. And I'm like, and then they completely slapped everybody in the face who bought an Xbox One X by saying, oh, we're well in development on the next thing. Don't even worry. We got this. We're buying all these studios up. Guess what? 5 years.
Yeah.
We're going to own the industry. And I'm like,
Xbox 2, 1X, 1-2X.
Right.
1-2-1-2. Mic check. Right. That shit's going to be revolutionary.
Exactly. If I had spent $500 4-5 months ago on a brand new console, and they were like, we're well in development on the successor, and I'd be like, fuck you.
Phil Spencer, eat my ass.
Yeah. There's nothing to play on this fucking monster I just bought in December. Right. What the fuck are you talking about? You're well in development on the next one.
Meanwhile, Nintendo's like, we put some paddles on an iPad and you can play Fortnite. And people are like, holy shit.
People talk about Nintendo. I was like, Nintendo, I was just sitting there like, that's it? This is what it is?
Mm-hmm.
They talked about Mario Party?
Yep.
And they had a 45 minute conference, and they talked about every character in Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, like, here's Snake's butt. It's not as good as Pat Snake's butt. Here's this guy from that game you like to tell your friends you played because you think it makes you look edgy, but you've never played it at all.
Like, and then it's like, they're like, well, that's it for Nintendo. Hope you enjoyed. But wait, there's more. Here's one other character for Super Smash Brothers, which we've been talking about for 45 minutes. Ridley.
Yeah, in their defense, people have been asking for him.
I guess because there were kids goddamn crying on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, I watched reaction videos, and I was just like, goddamn, I wish I cared about anything as much as that motherfucker cares about Ridley being in Smash Brothers.
You know what? My memory of Ridley is throwing my Wavebird across my basement in Virginia in the boss fight against Meta Ridley in Metroid Prime.
Metroid Prime, yeah.
Literally throwing it across the fucking room.
I didn't throw my controller, but
yeah.
I remember the elation that I felt when I finally beat that boss fight in Metroid Prime.
Me too. Yeah, and I went online, and they're like, get more missiles. And I was like, bitch, how am I supposed to get – how the fuck am I supposed to do that? I'm just supposed to go tripsing through the planet being like, y'all got missiles? Hey, yeah. Hello?
Where's the shop? Where's the missile shop?
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, I was so mad. Oh, my God, was I so mad when I played that fucking game.
Yeah.
But anyway, and that's the thing. It's like, I get it. Metroid Prime 4, they announced it and people went apeshit and you sold like a million Switches. And now they're just like, well, we don't really have anything to show you.
Yeah, I was going to say, guilty. Yeah.
Me too. I don't regret my purchase at all.
I don't either at all. I'm just saying.
That's games what, on it. But yeah.
That's what made me get in a hurry to buy one.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, Nintendo, I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, does anybody ever get like excited for Mario Party games? Mario Party games are the games you play with people that you hope at the end of the night you're not friends with anymore. Because nothing is more infuriating than fucking whipping that ass for 45 minutes and then, you know, the socialism of Mario Party rears its ugly head and they're all like, everybody who, you know, it's all the Bible, the last shall be first, the first shall be last. And you'll be like, I was running this shit for an hour and now I'm in last place. And then your friend's just like, I beat you, ha ha. And you're like, I fucked your wife, Carl. I fucked her.
Like, if I'm being perfectly honest, I'm more than likely going to buy this Mario Party, and it will be the first Mario Party game I have ever played. Oh. Never played.
Mario Party is the worst. It is the fucking worst. It is every. Oh God! It is every participation trophy nightmare come true in board game form. It's to their credit, it's designed to make it so that one person can't, who has better reflexes, maybe plays more video games, can't just fucking run the table. But holy shit, is it infuriating for you to be like, what Mario Party teaches you is that it doesn't matter. It's all up to chance. Try, don't try. Who cares?
So, like, I was excited because, like, you know, this is the first time since the GameCube that I've gone in early on a Nintendo platform. In fact, it's the first Nintendo console I've owned since the GameCube that wasn't years and years. I bought a Wii. Uh-huh. I've owned a Wii for maybe a year and a half.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I bought the GameCube the week it came out because I wanted to play Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, boy. Yes, sir. I got it for Christmas
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but after that, I was like, yeah, you know what? I like games where I get to shoot and murder people, and this isn't the platform for that. So I moved on, and the Switch is like, and I didn't buy it, you know, early. I bought mine, in January this year? So it was almost a year old when I bought my Switch, but, you know, I was excited for Mario Party. I'll play it probably with the kids or whatever. And
well,
I'm
that's
sure
different. That's we'll enjoy different. It. Yeah, that's different. I play all my stuff by myself.
Yeah,
and I can't feel happiness anymore. So, but yeah, no, I agree. I was kind of hoping for something from Nintendo because I was like, you know what, I liked Fire Emblem, but only if they make it for easy peasy people like me, because I can't build a 20-hour relationship with a lady who rides a Pegasus into battle. And then because I'm a horrible tactical commander, she dies for reals, and that relationship is gone. You want to talk about stress? That's why, honestly, people talk about XCOM, great game. XCOM 2, great game. I can't handle the stress. I can't handle the stress, especially XCOM 2, when they're like, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to put money in research and development? Do you want to put money in munitions? Do you want to put money in this other thing? And I'm like, well, what happened? Can I put money in everything? And they're like, no. One of these things will fall behind, and people will die as a result. And I'm like, fuck that, I'm out. And then because I don't put enough points in stealth for Pedro the sniper, he gets fucking gut shot by an alien, and I have to call Pedro's wife and be like, he's not coming home. Like, I can't handle that type of pressure.
Oh, I guess finally.
The past two Fire Emblems were fucking genius, where if people fell on the battle, they were just out for that battle. None of this bullshit permadeath. And you could turn that on if you wanted to. If they do that for the next one for the Switch, I'm all in, because those games are fucking great. But I can't have the pressure. I can't write that letter.
Right.
I just can't do it.
It doesn't bother me at all. I'm fine with it.
Well, it's also then the work, right? Like, the thing about Fire Emblem is that you spend time building up all these characters. I ain't got the time to fucking put 20 hours into this peasant kid with a mop, teach him how to ride a Pegasus. I don't have time for that.
Right.
I've already built these relationships. I've gotten them exactly where I wanted to. I just don't know how to tell them what to do. Like, I shouldn't be penalized for that. Make your own choices. But anyway, I mean, Nintendo was just like, it's funny to watch like the cycle of Nintendo things, right? Like, you know, they you know, the Wii U, they were just like, yeah, we don't really know what we're doing,
right?
But here's all this DS stuff, and people were like, you know, and now they're back up on top of the Switch, and they're like, fuck all y'all, we don't care, here's 40 minutes of Smash Brothers roster, see you at Gamescom. And everybody's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then exactly. in May was like, according to NPD, May was one of the best months for like for people buying Switches.
Yeah. There you go.
But you look at June, and they're like, man, we ain't got to fucking show nothing. You can play everything. Fortnite, motherfuckers. City. Yeah, goddamn right. Fortnite, what's up? Mario Tennis comes out next week. Shit. You know, I mean,
yeah, they gonna sell like fucking crazy. Yep.
And that's the thing. I think that's the difference. You know, the Wii U, people are like, I don't. You know, the Switch, it's like, you know, does it look as good as the PS4 or the Xbox One? No, but who gives a fuck? Because you can fucking throw it in your pot and you can play actual console games. Not to say that the DS hasn't had an amazing library of games, but I can tell you, I love the DS, but there is a difference between a console-esque experience and a portable game. There is a difference. So here you're like, it doesn't look as good, but this is a console. You can play console games while you're out and about.
Yep.
And rightfully so. People went, you know, crazy, go nuts for it. And they're just like, yep, here you go. Here's NES. Remember NES? No, of course you don't, because nobody played Mother. Or whatever, or Earthbound or Fireplace, whatever the fuck it's called. Fireplace. And then they're like, oh, by the way, Ubisoft is like, hey, we've got this game where you slap spaceships on a controller. And then I went, yes. And my wife looked at me like I lived through 3-4 Skylanders games. I ain't doing it again.
Right.
I showed her a video, and I don't know if you could see what divorce looks like on facial features, but I saw it. I know. And I was like, well, baby, it's been a good run.
Yep.
But that's Fox McCloud right there. Speaking of Ubisoft, Assassin's Creed. I know you're excited for
Don't care at all. Assassin's Creed 300? Yeah, I can't wait.
This is Sparta. I like how they were like, we're going to take time and we're going to do Assassin's Creed every other year. And everybody was like, we don't give a fuck about quality. We want ninja. We want stabbing people in the face every year. And they're like, yeah, so do we.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like, that lasted literally 1 year.
Yeah.
They went 1 year where they didn't do an Assassin's Creed. And they're like, what were we thinking?
Yeah, apparently.
Like, we would put Assassin's Creed out every 6 months if we could hire the people to do it.
Yep.
And I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Although I like how they keep going further and further back in time. So I'm hoping for the Assassin's Creed Far Cry Primal team.
Yeah, that's coming. That's the logical regression, I guess, not progression.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Division 2 looked good. I like what it they're did. You know, that's a game that, to their credit, like, they could have just been like, I feel like, you know, more than any other, like, I mean, Halo has a community, you know, kind of Gears has a community, but those communities are mostly built around them going, hey, people like our multiplayer, here's a map editor, kind of go crazy.
Right.
But, you know, to Ubisoft's credit, you know, between Wildlands, mm-hmm. The Division, and Rainbow Six, they have just, and For Honor, too.
Yeah.
You know, those are games that they have stuck with. Maybe they didn't have the reaction or the reception that they kind of hoped for at the beginning. But over time, they've been like, you know what? This is not a one and done. We want to treat this more like a platform or a service. We're just going to keep improving, keep adding to it, keep making it better so that people keep playing it. And I can't think of another publisher beyond maybe somebody like Bungie. But you know, Bungie's stuff with Destiny, that you're paying for that. I mean, there's some quality of life improvements that you get free, but all the stuff that's coming for The Division, I mean, there has been some paid DLC, but like a lot of the end game changes and a lot of those things, that's all free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing with For Honor. A lot of those improvements are free. Yep. So they really have kind of stuck with these things to let these games evolve and figure out kind of what the community wants and likes and then make those changes. And I give them a lot of credit for that. I bet if you and I were to boot up The Division now, the game we would play would be totally different than the one we stopped playing, you know, back in the day.
Well, not so much The Division for me, but to speak to that, it's Rainbow Six.
Yeah,
that's a game that I bought right after launch, just because I thought it looked fun, and I had no intentions of playing the multiplayer. I spent $60 just so I could hunt terrorists with Gene, like, because that's what we did on. That's what I cut my teeth on Xbox Live was Rainbow Six 3. Like, and all we did was terrorist hunt.
Right.
And I wanted that experience back. And Siege was almost for whatever the hot term these days is, hero shooter. That's exactly what it is.
Right.
You know, all these operators, and they all had these different things, and it's so interesting and it's so fun. And it's like, we played it for months and months and months, and then we put it down for months. Mm-hmm. And then you pick it back up, you know, for whatever, because it became what we did after Drunk Watch. It was Rainbow 6 o'clock, right? And it was almost like it was a whole new game.
Right.
This new maps. I mean, yeah, it's still the same formula for the terrorist hunts, but like, there's new operators, and you don't have to spend a dime. You just have to put in the time to earn the credits to unlock them. You don't have to pay money for them.
Right.
That's fucking brilliant. And here we are, 4 or 5 years later. Maybe?
Yeah.
Has it been that long?
It's been a minute.
Yeah. And they're still like, you know what? This is a 10-year game. We're going to have 50 operators before we ever think about a sequel. I was like,
good for them.
Yeah. I'm all in, man. I'm like,
Thought about picking it up, but I'm just like, I already have enough games that I bought because you guys play it, and I'm never on when you are to play it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, Chris and I would play it at work. Because I own it on both systems. It's one of those that I have for both. And the PS4 works better at work than the Xbox. So, like, I bought it on PS4 and we played the shit out of it. When they did the Outbreak thing last year with the zombie mode and all that shit, that was fucking – that was Left 4 Dead with Rainbow Six characters. And it was fucking amazing. Right. Like, I'm so sad that it ended because it was so good.
Right.
But that was free. Didn't cost me a dime for that mode.
Right. Yep. So I think all in all, like we said before, and because I want to get to Hereditary, I'm not trying to cut it.
I do too.
It was a pretty good E3. There was like we said before, there was nothing that you were just like, holy shit. But there was a lot of really solid games to look forward to. February of next year is going to be a nightmare because it's so many good things.
Yeah.
But you know, there's some great things to, there's some great things to play now. There's great things to play at the end of this month. A little bit of a dry spell kind of until kind of September, but then man, this holiday season kind of from September forward, there's, you're going to be like, just,
I am scared shitless of Black Friday this year.
I know, right?
I may have to cancel Christmas. Like in this
shit. Kids, I hope you like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say before we move on, I just want to mention real quick Bethesda. I thought,
Bethesda,
fucking this was their year for me. You know, not to get too in depth, but I'm interested in Fallout 76. I think Fallout co-op could be fun. I'm fucking stoked for Rage 2. I can't fucking wait for a new Doom game. Good Lord, because I love Doom, and then. I literally can't wait to co-op as BJ Blazkowicz's daughters with you.
Oh, right, yeah. In a
new Wolfenstein game.
Like, yeah, no, you're right. I forgot all about that.
Good God, I can't wait for that.
Just like, you know, Destiny with jetpacks? Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Yep, I'll do it. Thank you. And, like, you can't romance anyone. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I have a jetpack. I have a romance with my jetpack. Rocketeer, what's up?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm sorry, I forgot all about those. Okay.
Yeah, no. I need to take
so a Hereditary. As we have said many, many times before, that you know, we, and more you more than me, kind of read about these movies, these horror movies that are supposed to be, you know, the next coming scariest thing I've ever seen. We had test audiences that were in tears. The one guy, we had to check him into an asylum. You know, this is the scariest thing you'll ever see in your entire life. And you and I watch it, and we're just like, eh.
Right.
All I knew about Hereditary, I saw one trailer. But, you know, horror movie trailers, if they're good, they're not going to spoil anything for you. That's right. What makes them good.
Right.
But all these reviews I kept reading about it leading up to it was that it was legitimately – like one of the scariest things that the reviewer had seen. So I went into it. One of them, the guy said it was emotional terrorism.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go to this movie thinking, well, obviously I'm not going to get scared by it because everybody says it's the scariest fucking thing since sliced bread, and which is not a scary thing, but that's the only analogy I could come up with.
Sure.
But it's not going to affect me because I've seen lots of horror movies. Let me tell you something.
Yep.
So I saw some Tuesday night. Tuesday night is garbage night, so everybody puts all the garbage cans out because it gets picked up on Wednesday morning. So first of all, I leave the theater. And this wasn't a theater that when you left, everybody was like, yay, this was a silent pin drop, you know, end of Avengers theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I go outside to get to my car. Some motherfucker, I don't know why, is banging on a dumpster. And I'm just like, where the fuck, what is that? Where's it coming from? What is happening? Where's it coming from? What is it banging? Why are people banging? What is happening?
Yeah,
and I was like, get it together, Brandon, get the car, get the car, just get in the fucking car. So I get in the car, and I texted my wife, and the exact text I sent to her was, that movie was super fucked up. And I drive home. As I'm driving home, I swear to God, every fucking garbage can is a person.
Yeah.
And I just see streets lined with people staring at me. So I'm a fucking wreck by the time I pull into the driveway.
Yeah.
I hit the button to open the garage door, and what do I see? A fucking pair of boots standing there. Wait, it was my wife's rain boots. I about pissed my pants in the car. I was so goddamn scared when I pulled in my driveway that a pair of rain boots that I see every fucking day, I swear to God, I was like, it's it. I'm here. I'm his vessel. They're here for me. Like, I was so fucking scared coming out of that movie.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So before we officially begin talking about the movie.
Spoilers.
I will say, yes, we're probably going to spoil it. And I urge anyone listening, if you have not seen Hereditary,
don't listen to us.
Turn this shit off now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please don't read a review. Don't watch. If you've seen a trailer, just stop. Like, yeah. That's all. You know, I told you I thought I hadn't seen the trailer, and I actually forgot that one played before whatever movie it was that you said. Quiet Place. Yeah, Quiet Place. I forgot that I had seen one because I knew nothing about the movie, and somehow because I didn't get to see it until Tuesday night this week. Mm-hmm. Like I missed it all last weekend. And I still was proud of myself for not knowing shit. And, and so I go to the theater, and so immediately I go in, and it's Tuesday, which I always forget is the night that is $5. So
there was a lot of people when I saw it too.
Holy shit. I walked into the lobby and there was like 200 people and I'm by myself, and I was just like, oh God.
And you know what? Every motherfucker who thinks they're original making the fucking clucking noise. Just stop.
Please. Right. I actually asked somebody to shut the fuck up during this.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Which is, if you know me, that's rare for me to speak.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Not only to speak in public, but to turn around when I'm by myself, to turn around and talk to somebody who's with a group and ask them to shut the fuck up. Like that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But I'm watching the movie and, without getting into the plot yet, you're right. This movie fucked with me in ways that it's one of those things where like I hate myself. And so it's what I'd look for. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. But then when it happens, I'm like, I don't know why I do this to myself.
I was the same way. I was just like talking to my kids, like, well, that's why you go to horror movies, because it's scary. And then I'm sitting there being like, oh my God, why am I doing this? Why don't I love myself?
Hey, dude, it fucked with me on an entirely different level, right? Mm-hmm. And I will say, maybe if you don't have children, it maybe won't hit quite as hard. But it's let me just say, if you have kids, and then the kids in this motherfucking movie remind you of your own kids?
Yeah.
Good God. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
You know, that's why for me, like, The Babadook is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen, because, you know, one of the big things about The Babadook is the fact that this kid has developmental delays, and so you don't really know, like, is there a supernatural aspect to this, or does this kid just have issues? And my daughter, when she's doesn't have this now, but when she was really young, the issues that she had were very much like this kid in The Babadook. So that feeling that the mom went through of just terror and impotence and rage and not knowing what the fuck was going on. Like I went through that. My wife went through that. So to see that, as I'm watching this movie, brought all that back to the point where I've never seen it again. And maybe it'd be different now, but you know, so that totally plays a part.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, I was projecting so hard for this movie that honestly, it's part of why I think, it fucks me up as bad as like as hard as it did. Yeah. You know, it was hard. I almost left. Like, it was super hard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When the accident, I don't know.
Oh my God. Yeah. I knew that there had been an accident. Okay. So I knew that there had been an accident. Somebody said something about an accident. I was like, okay. So we'll kind of spoil things as we go, but the opening of the movie, and this is not a spoiler at all, because people talk about it, that Toni Collette, her mom died, and you kind of find out along the way that she had been estranged from her mom, but at the end there, her mom was living in their house, and then her mom died. So it opens up with her husband. What is his name? He was in Usual Suspects.
Gabriel Byrne,
and their two kids going to the funeral. And I knew that there was an accident at some point, but while the youngest daughter, she's got a son who they're both in high school together, maybe. One's 13, the other one's, I don't know, 15, 16.
At least 16, because he drives.
He drives, yeah. So they mentioned this, you know, accident, and this, and it was unspeakable, is how they mentioned it. And while they're in the receiving line for the to view at the viewing, this fucking creepy ass Nazi looking motherfucker waves at the daughter in the line, and I'm thinking to myself that the accident is that he does something to her.
Mm.
So I'm kind of waiting, and I'm just like, I really hope that's not the case, because I mean, I like horror movies as much as the next, but I'm not here to watch some fucking 13-year-old girl get, like, raped and murdered.
Right.
I don't want to watch that. That is not what happened, although you do see him again.
Yeah. Well, and that's so that's part of the thing is, like, I don't know. We're not. I mean, there's not a whole lot of reason to lay out a basic plot line, because this is a movie that gives you the plot, which is great. What I love about it is that and not knowing what the fuck you're going to see going in, that's such a benefit for this movie, because the plot, you're not going to know exactly what's happening 5 minutes in. It's one of those things where it gives you little tidbits, and you sort of think it's doing this, but then this happens. And almost everything in it is story. Nothing. There's not a lot of wasted time. There's not a lot of wasted context. Everything's important. And then the payoff is just like, you're just sitting there. And this thing, the guy that I asked to shut the fuck up a quarter of the way through, by the end, that theater was dead fucking silent.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's just sitting there with their fucking mouth wide open.
The only time somebody said something other than the clucking, and I think this is kind of what tipped it off. Okay, so one of the things about this movie that was so brilliant that worked as well as it did is that Toni Collette, her job is she makes, like, dioramas. Mm-hmm. So she makes small recreations of houses and scenes and things like that. And so kind of imagine if you take a dollhouse and just kind of cut it from top to bottom in half and you're looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
The way that maybe a bedroom might be elongated to allow for all the different furniture and things like that. This movie was shot in the same way, so that at sometimes things were framed to be what would be kind of the normal size of a room, but then in other times you would pull back to this long kind of rectangular view of things, which on the one hand made it so that it was very hard to kind of know, like, well, is this real? Like, are what we're seeing right now actually real? Also, what it made you do is it made you just search the whole frame to try to figure out where the threat was going to come from.
Yep.
And there is a scene when the son wakes up alone in bed, and they have it framed like that. And what you don't realize at first is that there is a figure up in the corner by the ceiling.
Yeah.
The whole theater was dead silent.
Yeah.
He wakes up. The camera pulls back. We're all kind of watching. I'm focused on him. And this girl a few rows back to me goes, "It's fucking on the ceiling." And everybody in the theater was like, "Ah!" And then people started making all, like, the clucking noises and things. But normally in a situation like that, I'm like dead silence. I don't want anybody talking. But that – and that then from then on, you're just kind of like looking everywhere. And I mean, I have not seen in a while a movie that took a thematic point and tied it into the cinematography beyond like color, you know, for mood and things like that.
But
actually, like, the way that sets were designed, the way that shots were done, the just the framing of things to match the point of view of a character, like, it may, and I'm sure it's probably done in movies and I just don't notice it,
right,
but here you're supposed to notice it,
right?
And it was just scary as shit.
It was, yeah. You know, it's not perfect. Like, there, I say that there are little subtle things that play into the plot later that you won't catch, but there's still things that they do, and I'm just like, oh, well, shit. So, you know, once the accident happens with Charlie, and then the lady flags her down pulling into the the group session. She's like, "Oh, my mother used to knit doormats just like that." And he's like, "Oh, like, isn't that funny?" And I'm like, "That's not funny."
Bad news, because she was Patty on The Leftovers, right? And she was bad news as Patty.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. But
it's like when like, Tom Cruise's cousin shows up in a show, you're like, "He's not a good guy." He's a bad guy.
I was like, okay, well, this lady's not who she says she is. And then she's
right.
And then she's like, "Oh, you have to do this. I haven't seen you in a while, Annie, but we have to have a seance." And I'm like,
Right.
Bitch, okay.
Yeah. Like, fuck that noise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's a few things that I'm just kind of like, ugh, I hate how it sort of, for a lot of things, it doesn't go out of its way to explain to you this is important. But for the few things that it does, I'm like, I fucking get it. I would have gotten that myself. Please stop. Like, I don't need the doormat to be like, really? Really?
Right, right.
Everybody in the cult has their own fucking custom doormat laid out. I mean, come on now.
Queen if they're in a fucking, Lee is a very giving person.
Right? I'm like, if they're in a cult, they don't need fucking secret decoder rings and fucking doormats for everybody to know they're in the goddamn cult. You know, like, they know they're in it. So that was a little much, I thought, but good God.
Well, I do think that the movie, you know, it plays out in many ways like two different movies. Mm-hmm. It plays out like a 90-minute movie about grief and buried feelings and the way that we process when loved ones die, especially loved ones that we don't have a great relationship with. And then a 30-minute roller coaster ride of sheer terror.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, you could argue whether or not it does a great job of rectifying those two things. And I think I am in agreement with you 100% that in trying so hard to almost establish a better relationship between those two things, the obviousness of it takes away from it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think they could have handled that better. Because if they had not brought any of the supernatural stuff into it and they just kind of made it a movie about a family dealing with grief and the way that it kind of causes families to fall apart, it would have been compelling, especially just due to the performances. Toni Collette.
Good God. Amazing. Good God.
Like when you talk about, you know, potentially horror movies being shut out of a warrant's consideration, if ever there was a case that shouldn't be, it's this movie.
Yeah.
Because she attacked. I mean, she was feral in this role.
Like, absolutely.
My God, after the accident, I don't know.
Oh, dude.
I do not know how you could summon what she had to act out that scene.
That scene,
I
directly
don't know.
Following the accident.
Yes,
dude, I teared up, man. Like, I was just like, God, like, that shit was fucking with me something fierce,
right?
Like, again, because you know, the daughter reminded me of my daughter, and then that happened, and then her reaction to it, I was feeling every bit of that shit, man. Like, God damn, it hit me hard.
Yep. And then Gabriel Byrne, too. I mean, his, you know.
Bless his heart, man. Good
not,
God.
You know, and rightfully so, the people are talking about Toni Collette because she's brilliant.
Right.
I mean, she's amazing.
Right.
And it's not just the her after the accident. It's the number of scenes that she had that was basically focusing on her just channeling kind of grief and guilt and all of that stuff. And then just all of these things that over the years have built and finally come to the
right.
surface. And you have to emote all that stuff, but still be a sympathetic character, still be somebody for the audience to root for, all of that stuff. And for her to pull that off in the way that she did, I mean, she should be nominated for an award. Like, they should not look at this movie as a horror movie and then just go, "Eh, fuck it." And I really hope that Get Out helps pave the way for her to be considered. But Gabriel Byrne was also amazing. I mean, here's a guy.
To me, yeah.
He's just trying to hold his family together. He doesn't understand what his wife is going through. He knows she's going through a tough time. He's trying to give her space. He's trying to give her leeway, but he also sees kind of the way she's treating the kids and what that's doing. Right. And he's just trying to keep stuff together.
Right. He was the most heartbreaking character in the entire thing for me.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, his wife is seemingly losing her shit. Like, mm-hmm. which is not something necessarily new, you know, based on prior behavior, but right. it's amplified to such an extent, and his heart is breaking for his wife. His heart is breaking for his son and his daughter
too.
He lost a daughter too. And he's doing everything he can to hold this mess together. And mm-hmm. Gabriel Byrne does such an amazing job of portraying this character and then what happens to him. I was just like, Jesus.
But that scene with him just like, you know, where he gets the call about his son, you know, like it's just like one thing after, and then he's just like crying in his car.
Yeah.
Like I have literally been there. I have literally been that guy alone in my car, just crying because I don't know how I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. And I have people. I have an amazing wife who's like stronger than I've ever been. And I have people to help me out. But that feeling of I don't know how I am going to do this.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, it's gut wrenching for everybody in the sun too. I mean, imagine what he's gone through.
Well, so here, I'll tell you when I told God, shut the fuck up. The scene where they do the seance, when she talks the husband and the son into coming downstairs, let me show you what I've done. And that kid is so fucking terrified. He's already scared of his mother anyway because of the whole sleepwalking thing with the kerosene.
The lighter fluid or whatever,
So when she brings them in the middle of the night downstairs and does a seance and becomes possessed, I guess, or whatever happens. She's talking all weird and shit. And he is so fucking scared. Like that he basically, he like reverts to a 4-year-old kid. Like he's crying.
Yeah.
And he's begging her to please stop. Cause he is so scared. And I'm just sitting there watching this and I'm like, geez, I'm going to fucking cry for this kid. Yeah. Like, I was like, this is the worst. This is so awful.
Yep.
And then this dumbass behind me starts laughing because he starts crying.
Read a review saying that the kid's acting was bad, that the crying. And I was like, what movie were you watching? Like, how do you think, like, this kid's 16 years old.
Right.
Think he's everything that he's gone through at this point.
Exactly.
And now he's going through this shit. And what do you expect? Like, I don't know what you think he's supposed to be like, but holy shit.
He's obviously, so that's the whole thing, right? You expect, because he looks like he's older, that he's supposed to be whatever. And I'm like, no, that is exactly, and I'm sorry, maybe my kid isn't the most macho kid, but when my son.
Your kid's awesome.
But I'm saying if my son were in that situation, he was hurting like that, that's exactly what he would sound like.
Mine too.
And that shit, god damn, dude, it was ripping me apart. And for some idiot behind him to start laughing, it was just too much for me.
Yeah.
I had.
What happened?
I stood, man. I stood up and I turned around and I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, cause he's like laughing and shit. And then a couple of his buddies start laughing and I'm like, shut the fuck up. And I just turned back around and sat down. I was like, and thank God they didn't say anything. Like they didn't come back at me with anything. Cause I probably would have left. I'd be like, Nope. Sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I'm out.
I'm out.
Continue laughing, sir. I'm going home.
Yeah. Yeah, my bad. Good times. It's comedy.
But it was right. But that moment, this movie was fucking with me on that level. I was just like, you are not laughing at that poor baby. You are not laughing at him.
Yeah.
I was, god damn it. God damn.
And then you know, the only, you know, kind of the only criticism I had of it, and I it's only because I don't really feel like it fit, and is that the voiceover at the end.
Yeah.
Which you could, and my understanding is that was the director's decision, so I don't think it was a situation where they did, like, you know, audience testing and the audience was like, I don't get it. Right. But, you know, it not only did it just not, you know, it felt tacked on just from an exposition point of view, but also just the audio.
Yeah.
Kind of just.
Yeah. It was bizarre. So for the sequence of events that had transpired, I got it. And so it would have been so much more effective had they just had that music playing, mm-hmm. and then the movie just cuts to black. Like that would have fucked me up way worse than what the way it did play out. Because it's one of those things where if you're paying attention and, you know, this is not one of those things where it's so weird, you're not going to know what's going on.
The only thing that I didn't get was kind of the sequence of events, so to speak, because they kind of talk about, without getting too much into it, that, you know, they preferred this thing, but they kind of got this other thing. And I was just kind of like, all right, I'm not sure. And then I read later on stuff where somebody was like, okay, well, the reason, you know, they did this, then they did this, and it's because of this.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. That was the only thing that I didn't really understand. It was kind of the, well, why are they doing this if they need, what they needed was this, and
who sure
possessed by what, when.
So, well, that's why the relationship between Charlie and the grandmother was the way it was. I earlier on, and I picked up on that. And then the big giveaway was when she initially goes to the grief counseling before the accident happens, when she's just sort of showing up and be like, my mom's weird and I had a brother. And so the brother thing really.
And that's what I missed. I missed the thing about the brother.
Well, you know, it's what she said. And I was just sitting there like, huh. I was like, okay, that's fucking okay. That's something, right? Like that just sort of it flipped the switch for me. And then the little girl saying she always wanted me to be a boy. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was like, okay. So, and then by the end, I was like, gotcha. Like, that's Jesus fucking Christ. But yeah, I got it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. But it was great.
Yeah.
You know, for a number of reasons, but also just to kind of, you know, to have something that, you know, people reviewed very highly. And then to go and to be able to have the same experience was fantastic.
It's a
highly recommend it.
Yeah. It's my new number one for the year.
Yeah. It's pretty high up there for me too. So go see it, you know, definitely before, you know, Jurassic Park and you know, all the rest of the summer movies come and kind of edge it out. Although I got to imagine it's probably going to stick around for a while simply because it's done so well. And it's
highly also, reviewed. One last thing. Yeah, fuck Ari Aster, whatever the fuck his name is, the guy who wrote and directed this for, and I don't know what his deal is. Maybe it's just because he doesn't want to be known for horror, but his whole thing of coming out and saying it's not a horror movie. Motherfucker, if this isn't a horror movie, don't ever make a horror movie, please. Like, don't. Holy shit.
He said it's not a horror movie?
He absolutely did. He's like, they're like, oh, it's the best horror movie of the year, this, and people are interviewing him and shit. And he's like, well, I don't really think it's a horror movie.
Yeah, please don't make a horror movie. Because
what the fuck is it? I can't handle it. God, man, I don't want to see you make a horror movie. If this is your like your drama.
Yeah, I couldn't handle. No. Couldn't handle it. No.
Good God.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So. So I think that's probably it for us. As I mentioned before, we're going to be on a little bit of a break. As I go away and try to, you know, drink my way through Southern Florida. So I think we'll be back. Let's see. About a month, I guess we'll call it. But we'll have so much stuff to talk about at that point. Who knows what? I can't even imagine. But of course, you know, you can always follow us on Twitch and Twitter and all that good stuff. And then
Yeah, my plan is to get back into streaming pretty soon.
Okay.
And probably with Vampire. I may stream Vampire just because, like I said, I plan to be as fucking evil as possible. So much so that I hope to break the game.
Well, there you go.
So that'll be fun.
Like my boring ass pacifist. We do have a full run of Detroit up on the site. So if you want to watch and kind of see what, you know, maybe how your choices differ. And then lately I've been streaming a bunch of VR games, which I don't know how much fun that is because I can't interact with anybody because I can't see what the fuck's going on.
I've been enjoying it. I've been watching.
I will say the Inpatient is a very solid VR kind of horror title, especially if you're into the Until Dawn thing. Although I would like to see Supermassive do something other than Until Dawn games.
Yeah.
But it was solid. I enjoyed it quite a bit. But anyway, so that's been episode 50 for us. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it as always. And we look forward to spending time with you in a few weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night and have a good evening.